The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field. So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Do trip saboteurs foil your backpacking adventures? Have you ever described a plan as foolproof only to learn otherwise? Then consider our latest sponsor, the Screen Machine. Built like a telephone booth, simply have your friend step inside to get screened. The machine will determine their motivation, trustworthiness, true intentions, and gear breakage probability. If they score high enough, they can join you. If not, kick them to the curb. Check it out at backpackingblisters.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who will eat beetles and poop maggots. It is Carl Mandrioli, live. What's up, buddy?
Welcome to the Backpacking Blisters Podcast, everybody. With me today is Derek Somerville. He's a man who is planning to get a brain transplant, but then he changed his mind.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Wow. Way to use your head.
Get it? I'm just sucking you right in there, my friend.
If you can't beat them, join them, I guess.
That's right.
Never join them.
Correct. Yeah. So we've got kind of a mouthful of an episode here. We've got some serious conversations to have about trip planning. Ready for this?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, there's... Sure. We got some tips. We got
you
all
You said
this.
You prepared. You said you made it like a separate folder for all your tips.
I have a folder. Yeah. I had two or three great tips. Okay. I don't even know if I agree with one of the tips, but we're going to talk about
it. Why would you share it? Why would you share it if you're not going to agree?
Because I'm going to share it. I'll tell you, here's why. Okay. I'm going to share it, but then I want to see... I'm not going to say anything. All right. Going to read the tip, and then I want to see if my prediction of your reaction will be correct.
You're testing me.
I'm testing it.
Yeah, this is what good friends do.
Because I know, look, let's just get right down to it right now.
Okay.
Because I know that you are the trip planner.
Right.
This is your baby, your forte. So I know that you're going to attempt to probably rip me apart, like, why have you planned a trip, Derek? You know, all that.
And I'm trying to rip you apart. Here's what I want to know.
You can't help it.
Oh, okay. Well, I do want to rip you apart, but not for that reason necessarily. Okay. Here's what people want to know is because they know that I'm the trip planner, at least people that have listened to this podcast for a while, and they know that I'm a very collaborative person, but nobody really wants to collaborate for the most part on our trips. And so I'm like, hey, what do you guess about going here or here? And the response is always, whatever you think, wherever you want to go, Carl.
Oh, jeez.
And so you have to prove to everybody else out there, why should they believe your tips? What credibility do you have in the trip planning realm?
Mm. Mm. I think this is an opportunity to inflate yourself and your ego.
It's not.
I will. Like, you want me to salute you right now?
I know. You're missing it, man. I believe in you, but you need to have the credibility with everybody else.
I feel like this should come in this way. Like, I could give a tip or two.
Yeah.
But you have more frequency with this. So maybe you need to rank the tips. Maybe we need to change that, but where you rank the tip.
I don't think you know what this episode's about. We're gonna give what I think are helpful trip planning tips, gear tips, those types of things, but they're controversial. So it's not like I'm coming across as some sort of authority. There's going to be tips that people might really have a strong reaction to and push back on, maybe even get angry about. So
I hope so.
Yeah.
I have some tips here that I think are, that I've researched that I think are semi-controversial.
Okay.
So I'll be curious what people. I'm curious what you're going to say.
Yeah, I actually think you're going to agree with my tips. I think you're going to be all in on my ideas. I don't think you're going to push back unless you're just doing that just to like bother me. But I think there'll be people that disagree. I'll say that.
There's always people that disagree.
There are some keywords.
So it makes it fun.
Yeah, there's some keywords in the title, but this is not like clickbait stuff. These are really controversial. There's really some insider ideas here, and I would call them cheat codes. We're going to find out.
We are going to find out.
Okay. Okay. Just for credibility purposes, have you ever planned a backpacking trip?
Yes.
Okay. So there you go.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a little while, but you've done it.
I've planned a few.
All right.
Not to your extent. We all know.
Yeah. You have been like somebody who's helped plan some of the trips. Like you've been somebody that helped with, you know, part of the trip planning when we've done like these destination backpacking trips as well. So you've been in on that stuff, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're talking solo plan,
yeah,
just a few, but yeah, primarily with you.
How do you feel in general about suggesting controversial ideas, things that are kind of like maybe a little bit iffy to people in terms of where they want to go, in terms of kind of what they're going to bring with them?
I think this is great.
Okay,
because we can rip it apart and get to the bottom of it. These aren't personal tips, but right. I think these are pro tips or insider tips that we've found and discovered that these are out there that people are taking to heart. So let's rip them apart.
This episode is not for the pearl clutchers out there that are like, my goodness, this is how dare they suggest that. This is for people who are looking to aggressively go where they want to go and do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that fair to say?
I would think so.
Okay. All right. So if you're a pearl clutcher, then just click it off right now. Just turn it off right now. All right now. Okay, Bible verse for the episode, Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Are you one who seeks advice or counsel when forming plans? Or do you even form plans?
Do I seek counsel?
Yeah.
I think I like to seek counsel. I think if it's a difficult decision or situation, yeah, I think I would like to think that I go to somebody I respect, get their input. I think that's wise.
You like to think that you do, or you actually do that?
I tend to do that.
Okay.
That's why I don't call you.
that's why I'm asking. Because you've never asked me any questions. You're like,
you never call me. Well, what does that tell you? I don't
know. Okay. Not everybody does, obviously. And I mean, we have friends or friends of friends that we've had some interactions with them where, like, I'm not going to get specific, but you were very wise. I'll say this. You were very wise in an area, very experienced in an area, and they thought they knew everything and went ahead and made a rough decision. We'll just say that. So,
well, are you going to bring this up later? No, I'm curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that it's good to seek counsel. I think that's why, you know, the backpacking YouTubers are so popular, you know, pulling wisdom from them, or even just looking at, you know, trips that they've gone on and checking out the scenery to see if that's a place you want to go, that kind of thing. There's just a lot.
Well,
of,
I mean,
yeah.
Could, in an indirect way, couldn't you say that, like, hey, I'm researching a trip of any kind, and you're doing a lot of research on YouTube because there's so many people putting content out like, hey, I was just here. This is
right.
What it's like.
Exactly.
Like, that to me is seeking counsel. Because
yeah,
absolutely. Because like 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. I mean, what a bonus it is today to do that. So.
It doesn't always work. So, for example,
no.
In planning for last summer's trip, we're going to the homeland of Justin Outdoors and Backcountry Ford's Jesse Manti.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out. I was like, look, typically in the Rockies, at least down here in Colorado, we're going to get a lot of rain, but it's just going to come and it's going to like pummel you for like an hour or two after a thunderstorm, and then it's going to go away. And then I was talking to Jesse. He's like, yeah, that's same kind of thing. Canadian Rockies. I was like, okay, so you don't have any days where it's like cold and rainy the whole day. He's like, it is very rare. Like that is, yeah, it's that's not going to happen.
And it did.
And that happened for 2 days in a row. I was like, okay, maybe either we got really unlucky or that counsel might not have been accurate there.
Yeah. This was, and for those of you that forgot, this was Carl's emotional meltdown trip. So
Thank you. That was good.
Okay. It was a good trip.
Let's get to it, man. Let's get to this. All right. You want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay.
Let's go second.
All right.
Bring up your tip number one. What do you got?
Okay. So I'm going to start easy, and then I'm going to get more intense as we go here. Intense is not the right
way. Okay.
Yeah. Something like people might have heard of.
Sure.
So typically, if we're talking about permits specifically, if you're trying to go to a destination spot, Mm-hmm. So every park does it differently where, you know, some parks have quota systems from the trailhead. Some parks have quota systems for different zones. Some parks have quota systems for like having backcountry sites. Unfortunately, it's just a mess and every park seems to do it differently. So A, you got to figure out what the structures of the park. And then is there a less traveled trailhead to start from where maybe you can hit that backcountry site on the second night. Maybe you can reach wherever it is you're trying to go from a different trailhead, maybe a less popular or less traveled trailhead. Might even be like a pull-off on the side of the road versus a massive parking
right.
lot. If so, right. you are more likely to get that permit if you can find that area.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. That's my tip. That's it.
That's a similar tip.
Not controversial. Yeah.
No. Always controversial.
All right.
There's somebody's going to okay. This kind of goes in line, and I know you knew I was going to bring this one up. Okay. I'm going to bring it up right now.
Do it.
I'll bring up the Half Dome one.
Half Dome.
I'm gonna bring it up.
All right, say it, and then we'll talk.
Bring it up. Sometimes it's hard to get now. People, this is like a popular spot, right? So it can be hard to get the permit. So the tip is, it's probably less difficult to add your Half Dome to your backpacking permit because many more people apply for the day hiking permit than they do for the backcountry permit, which is kind of what you're saying. So if you again apply for a permit near Half Dome, that's off like an offshoot. Mm-hmm. Could you then like include Half Dome on your hike along the way to right. wherever else you're going?
Yeah.
And then that way you can get it. So to me, that seems smart.
Right.
If you really want to go. Like I've actually never, I don't think I've ever hiked to the top of Half Dome. I've gone by it. I've gone mm-hmm. near it like multiple times.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
If you don't want the hassle of it, then, you know, plan
so
around
your suggestion is if you want to go to Half Dome, don't do the day hike because those permits are hard to come by. Add it to your backpacking permit and find a spot kind of nearby where you can.
It's an option. Right. Yes, it's okay. an option.
All right.
Nay. What are you going to say? Nay?
I'm going to say this is why your suggestions are always awesome.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
75% of the people out there don't know what Half Dome is. 75%. You're talking about a place, they don't know what it is.
This is like one of the. Okay.
You didn't even say what national park it's in. You're talking about one specific hike in one specific national park. This is applicable
75%
to
75% of people.
To five you have a people on that? Out of our audience.
You're saying you have an accurate number of 75%.
Yeah. Quick poll.
Okay. Not Yellowstone. It's Yosemite National Park.
Right.
Check it out, Half Dome.
Yep.
Who was the guy that climbed El Capitan? What was his name? The guy.
Alex Honnold.
He climbed right near there. It's right near that. Okay, check it out. Super popular.
Me. All right, Derek helped five people out there, five individual people in our audience. If you're one of those five, then wow. you're probably on Team Derek right now. The rest of the people are like, what is he talking about?
Does one person not matter, Carl? You know what I mean? Does one person not matter? If I help one person today, that's more than you've helped all week.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is that future episodes, we're just going to have a target audience. Like, if you've ever heard of a single trail in a single national park, this okay. episode's for you.
Look, I think what I'm going to do is just create fake stats, throw them at the people to get them on my side, and then I'll give you some juicy actual info. And it's fine. That was one tip.
I think you might have needed to seek some counsel on that one, just saying.
If you don't think that that's a popular spot for millions of people, I pity you.
Okay.
Moving along.
All right. Here we go. Next one I got is sometimes. So I'm going to go back to the kind of the trailhead scenario where their quota system is based on the trailhead.
Okay.
Quota on the trailhead. So they have a specific number set for the trailhead. So let's say that you have four people in your group, but there's only two open spots at that trailhead.
Mm.
This is where it gets controversial. So take those two spots. Mm-hmm. Then find another trailhead that could feasibly get to where you want to go for day one, and then take your other two spots or however many people you have and do that. Okay. So now you have a permit for wherever it is you're going to end up for the night, but just sink and start at the same trailhead, just backpack together.
So you're just getting multiple permits to cover your bases.
Yeah. But really by the letter of the law, the other permit, the people have to, like, should be starting at that trailhead.
Right, which...
The reason... Right. But the spirit of the law, the reason why they have the numbers is to prevent overuse of the backcountry on each particular night. But you're all going to end up in the same spot anyway. And so we've had to do this a couple times where we're like, permit here, and we divide it up, and then we all end up in the same spot. But rather than actually splitting up for the first few miles, just hike together. Who cares?
Just in the spirit of the law, as you say.
Yeah.
You know, just break it. Just break it, because we're going to go to the same spot.
if a ranger stops you, unless it's Ranger Annie, they're going to be like, we get it. You're going to end up in the same spot anyway. Just go.
Wow. So you want to bend the rules for your own gain. I get it.
Okay. So
I don't know. That is controversial. That is controversial because you could.
You've done it. You've been a, you've
I
been
know a party I have. To this. I'm not saying it's the best option. I'm saying it's like, it's one of those things where like you kind of like, you're darned if you do either way, right? It's like a double-edged sword. Like you could get multiple permits, in which case you're kind of taking a permit away from somebody else, right? But then if you don't what do you mean not really? There's a quota.
Because you're Four people are going to go whether they start from one trailhead or another, and you're just trying to figure out a way to make those four people go.
But if you're getting a permit for each trailhead, right? Mm-hmm. And four other people from some other party wanted to go to that trailhead, and you're like, oh, they're like, you can't do it now because it's already maxed out on that day. We already gave them away. Right. That you're taking away from somebody else. But if you don't do that, you kind of like have to do it in order to get all the people where you want. It is kind of lame.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's like my response is like sort of, but you're there first, and so you're just trying to get your people onto the trail, right? And
yeah,
my point is you're gonna get them there anyway. Just you're all gonna end up in the same spot. Just hike together.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, I see your point too. So maybe I'm like 50-50 on this one.
And let's say you're a solo person, same idea. If you're like, I want to go to, you know, campsite A, and I really want to hike on trail A to get to campsite A, but all the permits are taken, or I could start on trail B, I'm still going to end at campsite A. Right. Just go trail A to campsite A. You're going to end up in the same spot anyway. Day hikers can use it willy-nilly. Just use it. You're not like damaging the trail extra by hiking the same
so
spot.
So get the B permit, but go to A and go there anyway.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So just break the
That's what I'm
spirit
saying.
Of spirit of the law.
Spirit of the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of here's an insider tip I found that kind of is in conjunction with that. Mentioning the Rangers, which I don't know. You tell me if this is controversial. So if you've done the research and you know the park and you have good experience overall and perhaps in that park, it's found that if you consistently found that a backcountry ranger will more readily point you toward the more adventurous route option than they might suggest to a novice. Mm. Right?
Like if you convince them that
Correct.
You're
like, oh, well, you know, we've been here before.
Okay.
And, you know, it really depends on the ranger, right? I mean, some of it depends on the ranger. What if you run into Ranger Anna and she's like, I don't care, Carl, that you've never experienced a bear. You're going to need a bear canister at all times. And then, you know, you get in a fight about it.
Well, but those are actually rules you're supposed to follow. Those are in
spirit,
place.
Spirit of the law. Spirit of the law.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So your scenario is you're showing up to a ranger station asking for suggestions, right?
Yeah, but they're discerning what your skill level is and how you present yourself, essentially. Right. Right? You got to sell yourself.
Okay.
Which, and then we all know the luxuries and the brilliance of the Rangers. They don't always sell you the most accurate information. So they might be giving the quote unquote adventurous trip, which might not be the most adventurous trip.
So you're saying can try to get the better trip from the Rangers at the Ranger Station, but don't believe them.
That's the insider tip, is to trust the Rangers, though. I don't know if I believe this trip. I can see the value if you're a novice. I can see the value. But if you're more...
This is a very real scenario that we've encountered before.
A lot of times.
Yeah, but here's what happened. I don't know if you were at the station when this happened. We actually filmed this. We have it. I think I've got the archive
you
footage of this,
this
happening.
No, you
I should
me
show
this.
So we show up to the Ranger Station, and I already know the trip plan. But it's at the time, it's like a pseudo-aggressive one. So I think we had like a 16-mile day worked in there. The elevation gain wasn't crazy, but we had a couple long days in. We'll just say that.
Okay.
And we show up, and I talked to Ranger Irene. I remember her name, and she was very nice. Mm-hmm. But I basically said, because I knew, like, I think it was our buddy Nolson that was filming us. I didn't sell myself. So I didn't take the advice you just suggested. I just said, hey, here's our trip plan. What do you think about that? And then she's like, okay. And she kind of gave me a look like I don't know how to respond to that. I'm like, basically what I'm asking is, can guys that look like me make this trip? And she's like, well, you're probably going to want to take a little bit closer look at the map and maybe modify your agenda there. Maybe do this shorter loop here, essentially.
I got an email from Irene. You know what the real truth was? Emailed me and she's like, look, Derek, I took one look at this guy's shoulders. I knew he couldn't make it. I had to suggest a weaker route, and he's going to do what he wants to do anyway. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like
but,
that.
But, yeah. I mean, and again, they might also like to tell you to go somewhere else because, they've heard intel about, how many times have we heard this? Like, oh, well, there's snow over here. You can't go over there.
Yeah.
And then we go there anyway and there's no snow, right?
So well, she told me that she had hiked 20 miles in a day. And so I was like, so you've hiked 20 miles. And she was like, you know, 65 years old. But you don't think guys like me can hike 15
what
or 16?
What an insult to you. That's so great.
Well, she just the Irene. Way that she said it. I you got to see the footage. I'll try to pull it out.
She's like, well, I would have loved to see the reaction.
No, you saw the reaction. You literally saw the video. It's our first documentary film that we ever made.
It's been forever. I want to see it again.
That's all right. Okay. We'll see it again. She was very nice. It was just funny the way that I probably just, like, tried.
She died.
Yeah. I tried to set her up to be a naysayer, and she was. So there you go. Okay. Let's see here. So that was yours, right? So it's mine.
It was mine, yeah. Okay. What's your next one? I got one.
All right. Here's my next one. Is you need to really read the bear canister regulations, especially in places where you have been before, where you know whether you need to have bear canisters or not. Really, really read them. Because sometimes you'll see, it'll say mandatory, and sometimes it'll say like highly suggested. And sometimes it'll say stinking both, dude. Like legit. Right. Yeah. If you go, so we're going to, I'll just ask what you're going to do about this. We're going to the Desolation Wilderness in July.
Right.
And on the website, on the National Forest website that deals with Desolation Wilderness, it says it is required, 100% required. When I signed up to get the permit on recreation.gov, it had all the rules and regulations and said it was just recommended. So what do you do?
Here's what I would do. I'd take a screenshot of that.
I did that.
Exactly. Put it on my phone. And right. Then I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
And then I'm going to show it to him.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to take the bear canister or not?
No.
Okay.
Why would you? No, I don't know.
Here's the issue is we haven't been there before. So to be, you know, confident, borderline arrogant to say we're not going to see any bears, I don't really know. So I actually will bring a bear canister just for safety purposes because I don't know. Maybe they're where we're going
to
go.
Well, to be fair to you, like you've already been blacklisted once from a park. So I probably would bring the bear canister. I don't know. But if it says recommended.
Yeah.
That's not saying mandatory though. Right?
Right.
I don't know. Just save a lot of room in your bag. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so let's take it to the next level. So then there's places like Canyonlands where it actually is mandatory that you bring a bear canister, but 100% you're not going to see a bear. 100%.
It's so stupid.
We encountered a ranger on the trail the last time I was there. It was about a year ago. And so she could have easily been like, all right, show me your bear canisters. And I didn't have one. She did not ask that question because she didn't stinking care. She didn't care. Yeah.
And it really depends on who you run into.
Right.
Right? You just don't know.
If you know the area, if you have the intel, then read those bear canister regulations is all I'm saying. So it sounds like you're on board with this.
Yeah, I am. Okay. If you're, yeah. But that one, yeah.
All right.
If you're feeling lucky, roll the dice. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not, see, because we have a desolation, I'm going to bring it. And I did do some, who did I ask? We have one of our Patreon supporters, Jared from Ohio. I asked him, I said, hey, did you encounter any bears? He's like, I didn't, but somebody camping nearby, like the bears got to the food they hung. And so I'm warned. I'm going to take it.
All right. That's fair.
What else you got?
Okay. Let's see. I got one more. It's called the shotgun tip.
Okay.
So you can apply for a permit reservation in multiple parks for a range of dates, hoping that at least one is successful. You can always cancel any if you don't use them, and you often get the most and often get the most cost refunded. So in parks that conduct early access permit lotteries, we've talked about lotteries before, have everyone in your group enter the lottery. So if you can get your group to do that, great. But especially if you're going to somewhere like super popular, I don't know.
The Glacier. Wonderland Trail, they have a lottery.
Wonderland, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So stuff like that. I mean, if you have a flexible schedule, and you can do this stuff, I think that's a great idea to like throw out multiple options and flexibility. But if you're like our group, we're like, well, we got to go this week. This is the week.
Right.
I mean, you credit to you though. I mean, you're on it. You're like, today's the day. I'm calling in or I'm online or whatever.
Right.
Clicking button.
Yep.
You know, but a lot of the people we talk to are like, I'm single. I'm ready to mingle. And I just go whenever I feel like going. I mean, this might be a better fit. I mean, I'd probably do that if I was in that boat, but.
Here's why it's controversial is they tell you actually not to do that, especially if you're all vying for the same permit, whether it's with a lottery situation or not, or you're all trying to go to one park. They say don't do that because sometimes they'll double book trips and this and that. And so this is why it's controversial. But sometimes if you know it's a hard to get permit, like you got to do that, right?
You have to do that. So it's not ideal because it's part of me feels bad too because I'm like, am I taking an open spot for somebody else. If I get two of these. And then what if I just don't cancel it because I'm too lazy? You know, people just don't cancel it.
Right.
They're like, well, maybe they'll change their mind later. I'll just keep it in case. And then they just don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Well, that stinks.
Right.
Now somebody can't go. So
here's a frustrating thing. I'll just reveal this to you. This is frustrating about that situation. Reveal. Kind of like an entry level version of your tip is to just get on to recreation.gov or wherever it is that they're selling the permits and be the first person on when they open it up, which is usually like 8 p.m. Mountain Time a lot of times.
8 p.m. 8 p.m.?
I'm sorry, 8 a.m. Sorry.
8 a.m.? I was like, that's late.
I know. Actually, I'd prefer 8 p.m. to be honest. But anyway, so you want to be the first one on there. So there was one time where we had a large group going, so I was like, actually, we need two people on, each with their own account. We both need to get permits, and these are going to stink and sell out fast. This was a Canyonlands trip again. And so I was asking around for other people, like, hey, would you be willing to be the second person to hop on and do this? Right. And I couldn't get anybody.
How'd that go?
People said no. They just said, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's like inconvenient. I'm not willing to do that.
That sucks.
So then I was like, oh, you're like, I don't ask a whole lot from the trip planning perspective. I'm asking you to do one little thing, and I got a hard no on that one. Kind of
hard no. I wasn't going. I didn't go on that trip, right?
Are you asking if you're that person?
No. Was it?
I would trust you to do it, Derek. You didn't go on that trip.
I would do it if I was going on the trip. No. I'd have to create an account.
That. No, I would trust you to do it. You're reliable. There's, I'll just leave it at that. So okay. This one is, what if the permit you were after for, you know, like you're too late, you just realized you wanted to go, and now it is sold out. So this is something I learned just recently, and so I haven't, so full disclosure, I haven't tried this one, but it's recommended by Hiking Guy, the guy Chris Hazard, we had him on our show. I trust this guy, and he recommends it. So he says to use a company called Outdoor Status. And for a $15 fee, they'll like use their AI or whatever to auto track when permits get canceled. So you'll get an immediate notification once a permit gets like refunded or canceled. So if it becomes available, you can immediately sign up for it.
Okay.
And so that's not controversial. That's just using a service to kind of do the dirty work for you. It only costs $15. And he recommends it. I haven't personally tried it, but it's out there. And I probably will try it if this becomes a problem.
That's not a bad. That's good input.
Yeah, $15, I mean, right?
Yeah, that's a good little bonus avenue if you need it.
You got anything else?
No, that was all I got. That was good. I think we okay. It was pretty agreeable. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, I got one more.
Of course.
Did you ever watch Parks and Rec?
Okay, I watched some, and I keep hearing I need to revisit it. But you know how it is. There's so many shows out there.
That's kind of how I watched. I watched a couple. I was like, I don't really get it. And then I just sat down and watched a couple in a row. I was like, okay, this is actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I like it. I just haven't gotten, isn't it like 5 seasons or 6 seasons or something?
I don't know. Something like that.
I don't know.
But there's a scene where they're doing something. They're like having a get together at a park. All right. Okay. And so, and the big character, the mustache guy, Ron Swanson, he rolls up and he's in charge of the barbecue and he brings a live pig.
Beautiful.
With the implication that he is going to cook that pig, right? Okay.
Seems easy.
Yeah, so the ranger of the park rolls up to him, and he's like, you're not going to cook that pig, are you? Mm. And he's like, oh, don't worry. And he pulls out a piece of paper, and he's like, don't worry, I got a permit for this. And he hands the ranger a permit. And the ranger looks at it and says, all this says is I can do what I want. And so I'm tempted to print one of those out and just have that handy and give it to a ranger the next time we encounter one on the trail.
That would be hilarious, actually. We should film the reaction, too.
Yeah. I would do it, like, with having the backup of the real permit, but just be like, no, here's my permit right here.
Hmm.
Would you feel comfortable doing that?
I think it'd be fun. I'm up for a little awkward moment.
I'm asking, hey, Derek, we got a ranger right here. Can you get the permit for us?
And you want me to get it out?
I'm asking if you'd feel comfortable. I'm asking if you would do that.
I think I could go, I could throw on the acting face and be like, yeah, here's a permit. Like, dead serious.
Okay.
And then just see what they say and then have the real permit behind it.
Yeah, for sure.
I would do
for
that.
For sure. Okay.
We should do that. It'd be really funny, actually.
Right.
That's so. like when I used to go grocery shopping. They're like, all right, it's going to be whatever, you know, $59.95 or whatever. And I would just, or I would, not the grocery store, a restaurant. We'd pay for the meal. And I used to put my Blockbuster video membership card on the little credit card tray, and I just handed it to them like it was a credit card, and they would take it away. They didn't really get it. They didn't see it, and then they come back like, "This isn't a credit card. This is a membership." And they get the reaction, and then we'd all laugh. That was great stuff. That was great stuff.
See? Okay. Nice. So we could try that.
Yeah.
Other than the bear can, I just haven't really mentioned any like controversial gear stuff. So I'll do one more gear one for you.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize this. I just learned this from John Kelly, is that apparently those alcohol stoves, those like open flame alcohol stoves, those are banned in places that don't want any sort of open flame stuff. They're very small. They're very self-contained. Like, I've never even heard of one getting out of control and like starting a fire, even like, you know, on somebody's like shirt or something, let alone like a forest fire. But they're banned in a lot of areas.
Really?
Here's my question to you is, if you were, I'm not an alcohol stove person, but if you were, would you feel comfortable using one in a banned area?
If I was an alcohol person?
No. An alcohol stove person. Stove.
Alcohol stove person. That's true. So I was like, I kind of knew what you
process
said.
What I'm saying.
I was like, alcohol.
What are you talking about? Stoves? What?
I don't know. I don't know if I would.
Like fire ban, no open flames, but that's your stove. That's your go to.
I always feel bad if there's a fire ban starting a fire. And you know how much I love starting fires.
Okay.
So I probably wouldn't do it.
Gotcha. All
right. I'd want to do it.
Just something to think about.
But I wouldn't do
it. The thought of like getting caught by a ranger with an alcohol stove and them actually processing you seems very slim, but.
Yeah.
Again, spirit of the law. They don't want the big raging fires that can start a forest fire.
It's weird, though, because I think about the fire stuff, and that seems, it is probably a more serious like offense than like, oh, we didn't bring a bear canister. I'm like way more willing to be like, let's just skirt that whole thing.
If you had even the smallest potential of starting a fire with those little alcohol stoves, I mean, I'm trying to think of the scenario. Like, you're not paying attention, you knock it over, and it lands in some pine needles that are just ready to go up. Like, you know, I don't know.
It only takes one. I mean, how many people do their gender reveal for their babies and they start a forest fire? It just happened again this year. So,
are you serious?
Yeah, I just read about it. Another forest fire.
Another fire like, started.
When will people learn? People just okay. Make a cake pink
You're
or
right.
blue.
You're right. Be safe with that. Okay, we'll take that one off the books there.
Do a pinata. You don't have to start a forest fire.
Would you bring a pinata backpacking?
Oh, that's a good question. How would I pack it? Just on the outside of my pack?
Yeah, just dangle.
I mean, that'd be kind of fun. But then you got to carry the trash the whole way. No fun.
Yeah, if it's like in a fire area, like a lot of that's just...
Oh, well, that's like true. If it's like cardboard and paper. Yeah. If I could burn it, I would do it. I think it'd be fun. All right. You going to bring a pinata and have me carry it?
What are you yeah. I'll sneak it onto your pack. How about that?
Yeah, I won't see it. Perfect.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. I don't know. Hopefully there's something helpful for somebody for trip planning. Like, we want you to get that special trip... Your bucket list trip, your lifelong trip. We don't want you to have to bring bear canisters when you're not supposed to. So there you go. Hopefully there's something helpful. And you got trivia?
Do I have trivia? I think I do have trivia. And it's coming up right after this.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations, and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products, and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Are you beat up, extremely sore, or unusually exhausted after a day on the trail? Or like Derek, after 20 minutes? Then it's time to up your training game with Summit Strength. Our good friend Rowan will help you get fit, strong, and resilient so you can conquer any adventure. Summit Strength is backed by the four factors of success: expertise, training, accountability, and mindset. Rowan uses rock-solid evidence and years of experience to get you trail ready for all circumstances: rocky conditions, steep grades, sustained climbs. The link to your success is always in our episode description, but you can check out all the information you need at summitstrength.com.au/online. It's time to be strong and pain-free for your next adventure. All right, man, what you got?
All right, we got backpackers. Well, I don't know what I'd label this one. Let's just call it. Let's just call it backpacker route trivia.
Okay, sounds enticing. I'm already hooked.
Super intriguing. I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. Question one: what is one nickname for Route 66? Is it the Father's Road, the Mother's Road, Back Road to Civilization, or the Gunslinger Highway? Come on. You've driven the road. You've done lots of road trips.
Like, they even made a movie about this road with cars, and they never mentioned any of those in the movie, did they?
Isn't that crazy? Did you watch? Yeah. Oh, you watch Cars. Good job.
All the time. Not really.
Okay.
Let's see here. So
break it down.
It's not fathers or mothers, although why would you? Did you come up with the options that are wrong?
I don't know. Did I?
I tell you when I do. Did you make these up, or is this
maybe
from somewhere?
You don't tell me until after I look like an idiot.
The last review you got wrong, you said three of these I made up, one are right. One's right.
Okay, I made up one of these.
Gunslinger's Highway.
Incorrect.
I made Mother's Road.
I made that up, though, actually. You like that one?
Yeah.
It was Mother's Road. Okay. It's the Mother's Road.
All right.
Number two. What highway connects east? Now, you've done a lot of driving, so this should be an easy one for you. I actually did this on my...
You're about to say what connects like across the country. I haven't driven across the country, dude.
Yeah, but you've been on these freeways. Think about the freeways. What highway connects east to west, USA? Okay. Is it... This is all I, so I'm just going to say the freeway. Is it 80, I-24, 40, or 220?
It's either 80 or 40.
Okay.
Let's see, 80, I know, I'm pretty sure it goes all the way to San Francisco. I'll go 80.
80 is correct.
Yes,
I thought it was 40, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it could have been 40.
40 goes, it starts in like Needles, like California, but it's not near the coast.
It starts there? Okay.
Well, part of it, yeah, California-ish area. Yeah. It is a desolate freeway.
Needles is a nice place.
Yeah, okay.
That's not.
That's the only time I've ever been driving. I think I was going to Laughlin, California, and I had to pull over. To sleep because there's nothing
right
there to look at.
Yeah, maybe invite me along next time. Just saying.
Well, I didn't really hang out with you back then, so
okay.
Maybe I will. All right, sure. Number three. This is make or break right here, buddy.
All right,
this one you should get. We've talked about the stuff like this.
Every time you say that, I get it wrong. Literally every time.
We've talked about this topic multiple times.
Okay.
I hope you remember. Okay, what is the most visited park, national park, mm-hmm. in the U.S.? Do you know, or do you want me to give you the multiple choice?
I know it's either Grand Canyon or Smoky Mountains. And I feel like...
I'm going to give you the four.
I feel like it changes.
Is it Rocky Mountain? Is it...
That's third place.
Smoky? Is it Grand Canyon?
Maybe.
Or is it Zion?
Not Zion. Zion's not even that, like... that. Zion's like maybe in the top 10, maybe.
Mm.
I don't think it is, actually. Okay, you I'll go Grand Canyon.
Oh, you failed trivia! It is Smoky.
Smoky changes, man. Well, I'm going to research that because I feel like every year it's a different answer.
Zion was like number four when I looked it up.
Was it really?
Yeah.
But did you? Is this 2023 data or is this?
I don't have a site from
1999.
I don't have the link in front of me.
I'm going to look it up.
Oh boy, here we go. This is what he does. He does it mid-show.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to lose trivia. I love it.
Why would you want to lose trivia? Why would you want to lose trivia?
You can't handle it. I just take your word for it because I trust you, but you know.
Okay, so the first thing that comes up is a CNN 10 site. Now, so I want to see when.
CNN?
Yeah. This is as of May 26, 2023. So, okay. It says Smoky Mountain. I'll give it to you. I'll take the loss. I'll wear it.
Thanks.
I'll wear it. Okay.
I already did my homework.
All right.
You can't accept it.
You didn't look at the date. Issue. It could have been a 1999 website. You know it.
It's not 1999.
Okay. All right. So I have an update. We had we have some new Patreon supporters as a result of our Red River Gorge trip. And so I updated that last week, and then one person hadn't submitted their backpacking story, and I always like to give shout-outs to people that are willing to support us on Patreon, and that was Zach with 2 Ks, who's from Kentucky, who has 5 kids, who has maybe the most interesting, inspirational backpacking story ever, maybe. All right, check this out. How'd you get into backpacking? Common story is like my spouse, my dad, my mom, whatever, right? Not Zach. No.
Yeah.
He watched Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
That's how he got into backpacking. Isn't that awesome?
I like him already.
He tried to figure out how far the walk was from the Shire to Mordor to see how long of a backpacking trip that would be.
I have seen both in Shire and Mordor. And in New
like
Zealand.
You've walked from the Shire to Mordor is what you're
no,
saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I've seen each location separately. One was on a sheep farm, and the other was in some little random place called Matamata, New Zealand. And you're in a movie.
We're talking filming locations. We want the actual Middle Earth locations. Like we want to go to Middle Earth.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get the accurate data. No. Do they have the mileage breakdown?
They tried to figure it out, and they likened it to the Appalachian Trail. And so then he started researching the Appalachian Trail and realized backpacking was a thing. And he's like, that's what those big packs are that people are carrying. And so he's been into backpacking for the last couple of years. And so I always ask people like, hey, is there, what do you want on our show that we're missing? Is there more, more of this, more of that? And he's just a big fan of our show. He's so positive, which is awesome. But so his only suggestion is he wants more content is what he's saying. More episodes.
More okay. What was the name again? Zach? Is that what his name?
Zach, yeah.
Zach, the only thing that I really noticed in Lord of the Rings, I love Lord of the Rings, by the way, and I plan on watching it with my kids maybe this summer. We'll see. The only person that really carried anything was Samwise. Everybody else is just winking it, you know? So, right. I mean, if I'm Legolas, I get it. Yeah. I can shoot anything I want and eat it, but Samwise is the grinder, in my opinion, so...
Yeah, where do those apples come from that Aragorn had that he was like chucking at the hobbits?
Great question. Great question.
Satchel?
Something like that. Apple necklace?
Probably that.
Were there Sasquatch back then? I mean, I know you're worried about orcs and stuff, but
they didn't explore all of Middle Earth, so there easily could have been Sasquatch there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So getting back to what he wants with more content, though, is so he like Zach, you probably found on the Patreon, like if you do want more content, it's on there. We got a bunch of bonus episodes. I want to say there's like 48 episodes on there. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we did release a bonus episode early February with that amazing race. It's like a bonus Thursday. We got another one coming, I want to say next week.
Next week.
With a really interesting interview, another bonus episode.
Right.
That's not going to be the bonus episodes like Thursday releases aren't going to be a regular thing, but we put more content out there. So we're
check it.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Appreciate you
Thanks
asking.
For joining.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I got, my friend.
That's all I got. Guys, check us out on all the Backpacking Blisters handles, YouTube channels, subscribe, hit that smash it, whatever they say now. I don't know what the kids are saying about it, but just do it. If you have any information on how we can trick or deceive rangers at the station so Carl can go on larger loops, let us know. Send us a message. We'll see you next time. I want to fly. Look, I talked to Irene after this debacle at the ranger station, and she pulled me aside. She's like, Derek, look, I've seen what you're working with here, and it's brutal. I'm going to give Carl it's called the parking lot loop trail permit, where he can I don't think he can get around the parking lot. That's the safest trail he can have. So he can hike around the parking lot. Should take him about 10 minutes. And that's what we got. We made a trip out of it, though.
Hey everyone, Will Cooper here, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of hunting and outdoor pursuits. We've brought together some of the most accomplished individuals in the industry to share their invaluable insights and experiences with you. But here's the kicker. It's not just about hunting tips and tactics. We're exploring how you can carve your own path, elevate your skills, and gain some wisdom from the best in the field.
So whether you're a seasoned hunter looking to fine-tune your skills or a newbie eager to learn, our podcast has something for everyone. Stay tuned for more exciting guests and hotter topics. Don't miss out and subscribe to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast today and start making your mark in the great outdoors.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinner's crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.